Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to Table Manners, our podcast with me, Jessie Ware, and unfortunately, Lenny is not with me. She's doing her hair for our guests this evening. The house is in a bit of a kerfuffle. Even our producer, Graham, is overexcited and slightly nervous. My brother has clammy hands. He's been baking all day. He even referred to this gentleman as his icon. So tonight, whilst my mum gets ready, I shall introduce him. His name is Jay Rayner. He is a food critic and he lives down the road in South London. Mum has been worried about this. We've all been worried. We got a very, very lovely email from him. He said, in the nicest possible way, people get weird over cooking for me because I'm a food critic. Please don't roast any swans in the process of this podcast. So, Mum, I'll let her explain the menu. Mum, you look very glam. You look like a very fabulous Jewish mother. The hair's been blow-dried. You've got your red lippy on. You've even changed your earrings. How excited are you about having this guest?
Excited and anxious.
Why anxious?
Because he's a food critic, Jess. He has a food programme on Radio 4.
Does he
knows his stuff.
Mum, I looked on his Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He's written fiction.
Has he?
He's got a book called The Marble Kiss.
So he's written fiction, plays piano. I wonder if he can cook, actually.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Them that do and them that don't critique. Might be.
Mm. But we are excited about having him. This was very much, he was on your wish list, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
And we made it happen.
And he lives near.
Lives near.
So he won't be pissed off if it doesn't work very well.
To be honest, I think that was the biggest pull, that you live down the road from him. Take me through the menu, Mum.
Chicken soup with matzo balls. Possibly not my lightest. Bit upset about that.
Explain what a matzo ball is to people, to the goys out there.
A matzo ball is like eating a cloud. It should be, but mine's going to be eating like a thundercloud, I think. It's matzo meal, which is a kind of flour meal that you mix with egg and then you boil.
And what did Marilyn Monroe say about matzo balls?
Is there any other part of the matzo you can eat?
What a doll.
She said that to Arthur Miller.
I like that when we decided this menu, what did you say?
When in doubt, go native.
It's the clearest soup you've ever done. Explain why it's the clearest soup you've ever done.
Because I've sieved it through a tea strainer to make sure it had no bits in it. So it's like clear consomme.
We've left no stone unturned. No. This is like love, sheer love, heart, blood, sweat, tears.
But I don't, the salt beef is still boiling. I don't know to take it out. I don't even know if salt beef rests. I don't think it does.
Haven't you done it before? You've done
it. Yeah, I have, but the stakes weren't quite so high, darling. Anyway, it'll be fine, but I'll have to lift it out and do it on a chopping board.
We're bringing back a side from a previous podcast just because it works well. It's potato kugel.
Yeah.
And it is really good. And lots of people asked about this, tweeted in and asked about how to make the potato kugel. So
we might put the recipe on Instagram.
Maybe we'll start putting the recipes on the Instagram. No, we'll save them for the book.
Okay.
I have to say, Mum, I've been critical of many of your meals, but you know I love your food. Your chicken soup is faultless. It is sensational. And I have never found another chicken soup to match your chicken soup. Katz's Deli, you shit on it.
Wolseley,
ich. Monty's, love Monty's, but under-seasoned.
Bit watered.
It's just like, yours is so wonderful. So I feel like it's only right that we serve...
Made with love, darling.
Thank you. It's only right that we serve it to the food critic, the Jewish food critic. Yeah.
There's some matzah there as well for him to have.
What we like to do is sprinkle the matzah
over. The thing is that I think that people like either like kosher stuff or they don't. They're kind of frightened by it. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, right. Here we go. Let's go. Can I get you a drink?
Oh, go on, man.
What do you want? Do you want red, white?
White would be lovely.
White, yeah?
Okay, is it too hot in here? Because I've got salt beef on the boil.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Have you made your own salt beef?
You did tell us not to make too much of an effort, Jason.
No,
she didn't salt her beef.
So I've made chicken soup with matzo balls. And I did go to the Haredi shops in North London to get to get a boiling fowl.
Oh, darling.
My matzo balls aren't as light as normal, which
but I like.
Aren't as light as they're never meant to be light.
Yeah, but I like them like little clouds in your mouth. But Jessie says
I
she
like
likes
them with
the
a bit of a bite,
one.
To be honest.
And so we've done hot salt beef and then potato kugel. Do you like a kugel?
I'm off the carbs, but for you.
Can you cook?
Yes. Because I can't eat out every night.
No, but like, okay, so who's the better cook, your wife or you?
That's a lovely question, Jessie.
Well, she
might do. She makes a point of not paying a massive amount of attention.
It's just like
the
my
blabber.
Husband.
Yeah. Because, well, you know, I get to live with you. Why should I have to listen to you? She would say that I do the show cookery.
Oh, okay.
The alpha male... Lift the meat cleaver above the head till it glints in the moonlight, shouting death or glory. She is a brilliant baker. We have different skills. Her baking and her pastry is
your
superb.
Yin and yang.
Yin and yang.
So what's your meal that you'll do for like...
Well, there's quite a variety.
Okay, but like, okay, your favourite, your go-to.
I'm very happy if I'm... if there's a large lump of lamb braising in the oven for 7 hours, I think a braise. I think one of the worst things with dinner parties is too much cooking. So
yes.
The solution. I mean, in a way, you've done exactly that. But everything happened hours ago, didn't it? All the real cooking took place.
Well,
the stress.
One yesterday, we still were arguing at about 4 o'clock about who was doing what.
I put granulated sugar in the pickled cucumbers instead of caster sugar. I don't think you'll give a shit.
Yeah,
to be
and
honest.
She was going to put.
I don't think on a kind of microbiological level that would make an enormous amount.
No,
of difference.
Exactly.
This is like she's
right.
Really mean. Head chef is really mean.
But doesn't all the granular sugar dissolve?
That's what my son said.
Yeah. But she was just stressed. Yeah. She was worried. You know,
who you're about to say has a degree in microbiology,
no,
I think.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. Okay.
I just thought I'd get that in.
Should we eat something? Because
it's your podcast, darling.
Well, yeah, I feel like, and just because I didn't realise, this is a fictitious book.
A novel.
It's
yes.
a novel.
I write novels, yeah. Well,
yeah,
I haven't written a novel for a few years, but I do write
You do
novels.
Everything.
I'm a whore.
Look, a Blackley comic epic of ambition, power, and chicken soup.
It's like I knew, isn't it? My parents were baffled when that book was published because they had no idea where it had come from quite recently.
Because you weren't a practicing Jew?
We weren't, no. Although.
But you are Jewish.
Yeah.
You feel Jewish.
You know enough about my mother to. Yeah, well, you haven't mentioned it.
Avila Shalom.
She's been gone a while.
No, but she was wonderful. She was a wonderful woman.
Thank you very much. So Claire was very ambivalent about her Jewishness. On the one hand...
We're all a bit ambivalent.
We're all a bit ambivalent. So there was no God in the universe whatsoever. And yet, she was a Hackney Jew. And long before I wrote that in 98, she wrote a thing called The Running Years in, I think, 1982, which sold enormous numbers.
I think I've read it.
I think you probably have.
I think I've read it.
I don't think there's a Jew of a certain age in Britain who hasn't read it. I'm going to give you some. There is this point, it has to be said, where most of your listeners are going, who the hell is his mother?
Please,
shall I explain?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so my late mother, who died in 2010, was an agony aunt, a vice columnist called Claire Rayner. in an age when these sort of things existed. I don't know, does Deirdre Sanders really count these days? But back in the 70s and 80s, you know, agony aunts
were a big thing. Deirdre, is that? Yeah.
And so, yeah, she was a novelist. She actually, in many ways, she was very similar to what I do, except her subject was premature ejaculation. Sorry, what were you offering me?
Do you want matzo with your chicken soup? I have got some challah, but
I like to sprinkle it on the top, but I don't know if you like to do that.
As my 18-year-old son says, you do you.
Do you want two matzo balls? Or
just give me one to start, darling.
Tiny.
Oh, they give me two. Yeah.
you'll get what you're given.
I've got the clearest soup I've ever made in my whole life.
Oh, that is a beautiful thing.
But I think it's the hardest matzo balls you've ever had.
Do you think?
It's a beautiful soup.
Did you clarify this, or did you, in the old classical way?
It was so dark. I boiled it yesterday and it was so dark. I thought, shit, what's gone wrong? So I put it through a tea strainer.
Mmm.
There goes.
The soup is lovely.
That's good. Would you like some matzo to sprinkle?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
So you're on a low carb diet then?
I most of the time am, except for when I'm reviewing.
Oh, so how many reviews do you have to do a week?
Only one. But I sometimes end up piling them up. Sometimes I have to do features, and at the moment I'm writing a new book, and that has certain demands upon me.
What's that about? Are you allowed to say?
It won't be out till September 2019, but I can say. So whenever I'm doing one of my live shows, we have a Q&A. And one of the questions I'm always asked, literally every show, is, if you were on, you know, you're going to be executed in the morning. You're
what would
on
be your final meal?
What would be your final meal?
Right, so Jesse scratches that one off, the questions.
And I reply. I reply and I say, I'll be honest, if my life was to be taken by the state in the morning, yeah, I will have lost my appetite.
That's the best answer.
But...
No. I got to thinking about this. And all the people who are eligible for last meals, which is not a pretty collection of people, they are the terminally ill, the suicidal, and the those on death row. They are the least suited to eating this brilliant meal. Yeah. And in fact, when someone's asking you that question, what would you eat if there was no consequence? If you didn't have to hate yourself in the morning, if you didn't have to think about the implications...
Yeah.
If you didn't have to... Okay. And so I've decided that the idea of a last meal, a last supper, is so brilliant that I should not let the small fact that I'm not dying get in the way of me having one.
So you have it every day?
No, I'm going off in pursuit of the ingredients for my last supper. So the book is a kind of... It's a perfect vehicle for memoir. Because they're associated... Each chapter is an ingredient. So it starts with bread and butter. It moves on through oysters, snails, pork. Lots of pork.
Snails would be on your...
It's so treff.
It's so... You can't have pork.
What?
Well, to be fair, we
did
have
you
prosciutto.
Did you really say that?
No, you can have whatever.
Come on,
you like,
I can bloody... I mean,
you can have whatever you want. But that's a real mixture: snails, oysters.
This is the point. It's my last meal. It's not yours.
No, that's very fair. That's fair enough.
And if I I have this kind of emotional relationship with snails, and so they are.
I couldn't do that.
A marker for exotica in food, or for the things that people won't necessarily eat. I do love them. And there are a few places in London that do them brilliantly. But it's as much about what they stand for and about the adventure through food and the adventure of appetite.
This sounds brilliant.
I have so many questions. Lots, obviously, about food. But I'd like to talk about the J. Rayner Quartet.
Are you slightly baffled by this?
No.
We all know about it.
I like food and I do music. We're basically new best friends.
Right.
This is your quartet.
Yes.
Where do you play? When do you play? This is an album that you've given me. Thank you so much.
We have a home base.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely thing to have. And it's a slightly complicated story. But inside, do you know Brasserie Zadel?
Yes.
Right. So at the far end of Brasserie Zadel, as you come down the stairs, you've got the Crazy Cox.
Yeah.
Which is their brilliant cabaret room. Mm-hmm. It seats only 80. That's what the fire regs say. And that's what it only ever said. So you're never going to get wealthy playing the Crazy Cox, but it is the perfect, perfect room. It's home base. So we have a residency there. We're playing next month, once a month.
Nice.
Which is really nice thing to have. Where else do we play? So we do the festivals. Cheltenham Jazz Festival.
Lovely.
We're doing the Gateshead International Jazz Festival. We've done Bath International Snake Proms. We've done Ronnie Scott's a few times.
Oh,
we've done
Beach Trees.
So we do the stations of the Jazz Cross, or the Jazz Cross stations, whichever you want to do.
And because I guess for me, I've started in music and then kind of turned to food. Well, doing a food podcast, whatever that is. I presume you've been playing forever, but is it because you just needed a break from having to talk about food?
No, it was accidental.
Oh, okay.
No, it was time. I mean, who would ever plan? Who would be arrogant enough to go, I am the restaurant critic for The Observer, but now I think I'll launch a jazz quartet and go and play Ronnie Scott. No, it was utter chance. So here's the story. I have been playing piano for 40 years. How old am I? 51. 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school? Where were you brought up?
I'm such a cliche, darling.
Go on. Hampstead.
The other one, Haberdashers.
Haberdashers.
So I grew up in Harrow and I learned to play piano. I did 2 years of lessons and then I got drawn into synths. I dyed my hair yellow. I bought a Juno 6 and an SH-101 and looked moody.
Amazing.
Those are really exciting synthesizers.
I'm imagining, you know, like Ross in Friends.
Yeah, it's awful.
Okay, perfect.
But when I look back at what I really wanted to play, I remember this thrill when The Cure released Love Cats, which is basically a West Coast swing tune.
Love Cats.
It's a great song.
And then shortly after that, there was this moment. My other half, Pat, and I have been talking about the music of the early 80s, mid 80s, when Everything But The Girl came along, and Working Week, and to a certain extent Charlie, and these were all charting bands, and they were all jazz. They weren't any. They weren't even jazz in tinge. They were jazz, and somehow they charted. And so I started playing a lot from then. I had various lessons. There was a moment when Pat sings. So the key to this is the singer is my wife.
Oh my God.
So here's what happens. I am big friends with a guy called Joe Thompson, who is musical director of the Ivy Club, which is not the Ivy, it's the club above it. And Joe and I have been friends since university.
Where did you go to uni?
Leeds.
Okay.
And we stayed friends. And I would go and do the live stuff on a Friday night at the One Show. And then I'd go into the Ivy Club on a Friday night where they'd have a jazz trio and a fantastic one. They'd be a changing roster of side musicians with Joe. And one Friday night he got up and said, it's your turn to play. And because he knew I played. And I never played with another musician. It was the most terrifying thing that had ever happened to me. Though I'd been live on TV in front of millions and hadn't really moved my heart because I can do live TV standing on my head. But playing all of me, only the chords because I couldn't do the tune. Was brilliantly terrifying, and I wanted that feeling again, so I went back the next week able to do the tune as well. But I didn't just want to be the guy who can do all of me, so I came back with a new tune. And in that room, I learnt everything you need to be a jazz musician. It turns out that jazz musicians care about their food. Many of them read me, and they were mystified enough to allow me to sit in. And I got to sit in with the most extraordinary musicians. And then, just to move forward a little bit, I was then asked to do 5 by 15, which is a bit like TED Talks. They ask you to talk for 15 minutes about a personal passion. Uh-huh. And they probably thought I'd want to talk about Bray's daughter or something. But in fact, I said, can I talk about playing the piano for 30 years and not being very good, because we don't talk about the things...
You are good.
Oh, yeah. No, we get there. And I said, things you're not very good at, we don't talk about them. So I talked for 10 minutes about that and then played. And at the end, somebody from Jewish Book Week came up to me and said, that was great, can you do an hour? And I said, well, I can't do it, I'm crap, but thank you for listening for an hour. And she said, well, you've got a year. And so I went, all right then. And for some reason I said yes. And in February 2012, so literally 6 years ago, put the quartet together, which was made up of musicians that I knew through the Ivy Club and my wife, who's always sung and trained with some of the biggest names in British jazz.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's what makes the thing
work.
Is
that how you met her, through music?
No, through just being
fabulous
students. And we did a gig at King's Place for an hour.
Wow.
And I thought, well, maybe it's a bit of a waste not to do this again. And then bit by bit, you just keep taking gigs. And there were certain key moments along the way. Clearly, Ronnie Scott's Sunday Lunch is a hell of a gig.
You did that?
We've done that three times.
Wow.
And we recorded an album.
The Jay Rayner Quartet, A Night of Food and Agony, live at Brasserie Zadel, featuring Jay and his wife singing. I mean, I'm sorry, I think this sounds fabulous.
You look terribly handsome.
You do.
Well, unlike the person sitting
no,
in front
no,
of
you. No, look, well, I've got a huge crush on you.
Oh, all right.
My son's got a huge crush on you. He's had to go out. He's coming back in, yeah.
He can't actually, he called you, he called you his icon.
Yeah.
I just do as I'm told.
Do you like, I like English mustard with my salt beef, but you might prefer a yellow mustard or Dijon. Well, depends.
Have you got some Dijon?
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a Nancy when it comes to English mustard. This is great salt beef.
It is great salt beef, Mum.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm sure this is asked a lot, and it's probably a bit of a redundant question because you have a column, but I still would, I'd quite like your go-to family's right. favourites, like ones that just kind of don't ever enough. Do you
So the question that I can't answer, because people ask me all the time and I just shrug at them, is what's your favourite restaurant? I
don't No, of course
I don't
you can't.
Have a favourite restaurant. I have a restaurant for different times in different places and different things. So if me and my other half are going out for dinner and we just want to be looked after, it's really boring, but it's probably going to be the Ivy or the Wolseley or Bentley's on Swallow Street.
Bentley's.
Right, Bentley's is an absolutely brilliant seafood restaurant. It's Richard Corrigan's. It's extremely good.
Okay.
Incredibly reliable. You sit at the bar, they'll open oysters for you properly and It's glorious. Nice. And Corrigan's cooking is always spot on. And at least in the dining room, he's a lovely man. apparently, he's a nightmare in the kitchen.
Okay.
So there's those.
Like my mother, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. No change there then. But then, you know, for Chinese.
Yeah.
I have a kind of, I'm a big Sichuan food head.
Okay. Do you go Silk Street? Silk Road?
I have done. But it's, the thing is, restaurants that are right on my manor, I don't tend to go out to. No, I just don't tend to go out to. If I'm at home, I'm at home. So it's.
But isn't it convenient? I quite like a local place.
Just want to go, yeah, but he goes out for dinner all the time. So when he's at home, he probably eats in.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't been to Silk Road for a while. I've got quite a few takeaways from Wooly Wooly over the years, which
Never
is a great Sichuan in Camberwell.
Must tell Sandy.
Brilliant Sichuan down in Deptford called Sanxia. That was superb. But in town, Bar Shu is still really reliable. There's a place on Gerrard Street called Four Seasons.
Okay.
Which does the best Cantonese roast duck.
Mm, okay.
Favorite. Anywhere.
Great, great.
And but I sneak off there by myself. That's my... So if I'm recording... I do a show on Radio 4 called The Kitchen Cabinet, a kind of panel show about food. And we record in the evening. So what I tend to do is I make sure to get lunch. And I will slip off to the Four Seasons, get a table for one, a copy of the New Yorker, sit with my back to the door so no one can see me. Portion of the Cantonese roast duck, monk's beard with minced pork and chilli, and I'm very happy. So there's that.
Where would be your celebration, family celebration, where your son would like as well?
This is a terrible confession because I think I've bred monsters.
Are they really picky?
No, they're not really picky. It's just... So the eldest, if we're going out for dinner, you know, if we're like at Christmas, and I said, so we're going to go out for Christmas, he looked at me and said, Ivy?
As This is called Table Manners. What is your worst table manner around the dinner table?
Well, mine?
No,
that you experience in other people.
Eating with your mouth open. It's just repulsive. I cannot bear it. It's eating noises of any kind.
Did you used to have big family meals?
Yes.
And was your mum a good cook or your dad?
I have, I would have said a few years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I would have said, yes, my mother was a good cook. As time has passed...
You've realised.
You've eaten some really good meals.
And let me ask a more difficult question. How long ago did your mother shuffle off, or was she still with us?
9 years ago.
9 years ago, all right. So we're in an interesting...
Similar zone. Did you have the same as me? I always had the same food on Monday, the same food on Tuesday, the same food on Wednesday.
I didn't have that.
Your mum was a working mum.
She was a working mum. So one of the things that she would do was that she had adapted the demands of motherhood to working life, which meant that I was quite old before I realised that chicken didn't necessarily completely collapse. Because she always cooked chicken in a chicken brick.
Oh, yeah.
One of those that she could
put
on the...
Love a chicken brick, though.
Put it in the oven at 120 degrees for 8 hours and see what you've got left. Basically, you didn't need teeth. But it's all right, because she had a big career. So,
And she was trying to give you a home meal.
Yeah, she was trying to do all of that. And so I'm not entirely convinced that she was a good cook. She had a standby for whenever... The grand
what was that?
People were coming when, you know, a publisher was coming. Or
so what was it?
And it was a kouliabiyak,
that's fabulous. It's
salmon and rice wrapped in puff pastry.
And
it was
done that before. Yeah, I've done a bit that of lemongrass.
Yeah, and I've done also. I did a vegetable kouliabiyak.
There was a particular moment where she had to cook dinner for this grand table of people, including her publishers and her newspaper editors, and Ariana Stassinopoulos.
Oh, yeah.
Who went on to...
She was big time in the day.
In the day, back in the 70s, and then she went to the States and became Ariana Huffington, who created the Huffington Post.
Oh, right, wow.
But at this point, Ariana, who was a bright young thing down from Cambridge, was hanging out and... what's the word? In a relationship with Bernard Levin.
Yeah.
And Bernard Levin was this huge...
He was a huge...
Columnist for the time. He was the great intellectual
political
of
columnist,
his day.
Political columnist, yeah.
Great sort of brain of his day, but he was also a massive food head. He knew his stuff. And my mother was terrified that she had to cook for Bernard Levin. And she was going to say... She was sitting with her secretaries in the office one day and said, what the hell am I going to do about this dinner with Bernard Levin? And one of her secretaries was out, even looking up, typing away... Sell tickets. But she did kouliabiyak for that.
Can you get a reservation anywhere really quickly?
Yes.
Jesse, can you help me get reservations anywhere very quickly? Or would they just tell you to piss off?
Where do you want to go?
I don't know. I just want to see how I try my luck.
You have to use...
What is the trick?
You have to use that privilege very, very carefully. All right, so could I get a reservation anywhere? Not quite. So, for example, on rare occasions, someone has asked me if I could get them a reservation at the Fat Duck.
Right.
And I have done it, but I hate doing it.
Yeah, it's like guest list for me.
Do you like the Fat Duck?
Yes.
Snail porridge.
Yeah, it's great. Have you had it?
Mum, you haven't tried it.
If you haven't tried it, you can't say.
Don't like bloody snails. I wouldn't like snail porridge, would I?
Oh, wait, we don't like snails. Have you had many snails?
No, I couldn't eat those. They're like...
Oh, hang on. You say you haven't eaten them, and you're saying you don't...
I couldn't eat them.
Well, then you can't say you don't like them.
I can't even spare the look of they come up slugs up here.
No, I'm really sorry. You cannot express an opinion on something you've not tried.
Do you eat everything?
Yes.
Is there anything
apart from Heinz baked beans. Hate them.
What?
Oh, why?
Slippery, slimy. I've never liked them.
That's how I feel about snails, slippery and slimy.
Oh, but I've eaten
them.
Listen, I've even eaten cold Heinz baked beans on camera for Susanna Reid, the things I'll do for money. Or...
Have you eaten snails?
Yes, but covered. I felt like I needed a lot of garlic and butter on them.
So the Fat Duck was the one that I felt... Anyway, I think you have to be very careful about it.
Yeah, of course.
And
you can't abuse
I phone
it.
Up with... sounding slightly embarrassed when I'm asking to do it.
Do you always use your name in the reservation? Yeah, of course you do. Or will you go under a weird name?
If I'm reviewing, I use a pseudonym.
Okay. Then they'll see you. So then...
Well, then I've turned up, but okay. There's nothing they can do. As one great critic once said, it's very hard for I've yet to find a bad restaurant that becomes a good one because I walk through the door. So I book under a pseudonym. They don't know I'm coming.
How important to you is the Michelin star?
Not at all.
No.
But the two things should be said. One is that there is nothing wrong with people wanting prizes. And that chefs want a badge to aim at is entirely fine. So I don't slag them off for wanting, you know, that chefs want to aim at Michelin stars. The problem is that the aesthetic of what you need to get a Michelin star just seems a bit weird.
What is this, like, going?
Well, it all seems to be posited not on the food on the plate. A one star kind of does, but once you get about beyond one star, it's all about, you know, teenage waiters ferreting in your lap, and which some people get off on, but it's kind of unnecessarily and weird.
Yeah.
That said, I am fully aware that I spent an awful lot of my career dancing around Michelin-starred restaurants. So is my kind of eye-rolling about it all solely to do with the aesthetic, or solely to do with that kind of my diamond pumps are pinching, ooh, I'm just bored of Michelin-starred restaurants. Mm. There might be a bit of that. And I don't blame people for going out and wanting to try tasting menus and all that stuff, and chefs, you know, expressing their passion for creativity. It just isn't what I'm necessarily into.
So you're not a fan of the tasting menu?
I would hope never to have to experience one ever again.
Why?
Because they are tedious in the extreme. Because every time you get something lovely comes along,
you get one mouthful.
You get one mouthful and it's gone. And then sometimes they don't know where to stop. There's something that tends to happen with me. Again, this really is diamond pumps a pinching job.
Yeah.
They take one look at me and then they start throwing extra courses.
Oh, yeah.
There was one in California where a chef came out and said, "Did I win?" And he'd served me 26 little bits of this and that. And it was like,
mate.
Although I have to say that tasting menu I took Alex to for his 30th was the best thing I've
eaten. Where was it?
In Argentina, in Buenos Aires.
What's it called?
It was called Il Latino. And he was a Colombian chef, but he did seven courses with seven...
Well, seven's all right.
They were little. I mean, there was guinea
fowl. I won't go beyond eight. I'm sorry. If they have those... I'm sorry. I think it's too much.
Jesse, these were little mouthfuls and little amuse-bouches and things. But they did, like, guinea fowl in mole.
Life of hell with the
wares. No, this was...
Look, I won't do more than eight. I'm telling you. If they move to a ninth course, if they throw in an amuse-bouche and a pre-dessert, I'm done. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
Just tell me a bit of gossip. Right, is John Commode really sexy in True Life?
John Commode?
Yeah.
Do you mean Turode?
Turode.
John Commode.
Have another glass.
John Turode. I got mixed up. Who is John Commode?
No, commode is another word for a toilet.
No,
toilet.
There isn't. No, but the K-E-R-M-O.
Mark Commode.
Yeah. Who went to my school?
Got mixed up.
Right, John Turode.
Is he lovely?
That wasn't what you originally said.
Is he gorgeous?
Is he sexy? Did you say?
I wouldn't do him.
Okay.
Does Greg?
Did you do Greg Wallace?
Turn it off.
No, I wouldn't do Greg Wallace.
Right. Should we have some pudding now?
Right. So Alex went off travelling, and he's a really good cook, and he really is. You go and get them, Jess. So he really takes care of things, not like me shoving it on.
Yeah.
He does everything beautifully. This is honey cakes with pistachio and lemon ice cream.
And all of this has been made by Alex?
Yeah. He's better than us.
Look, we missed him in the first series. He left us to travel. And now he's back. We're putting him to work. So
I think that's very, very good.
Shit, Jess, you don't know how to do it. I'm sorry.
Like, she's the, like,
I'm bossy.
Did you make the ice cream?
Alex made it. It's good, right?
Should we just call him?
That's a really good lemon ice cream.
It is the best. We thought about marketing it. If everything goes wrong, his lemon ice cream.
Let's just say. He'll be really rude to me because he thinks it's...
Say it's who it is.
Or he won't answer. Answer.
Maybe he won't.
No, he does that sort of stuff.
Does he?
Boston! Right, well, you're going to have to say it to him.
I'd be writing very good things.
Oh, Alex!
No, this is delicious. I think it's the best lemon ice cream I've ever tasted.
They're not bad either.
They're gorgeous.
He's a really good cook. Sweets. He's a really good cook, but he's also just very good at sweets.
Jay, help yourself.
I am. I'm sorry. This is. There's no politeness anymore.
Yeah. Just to can let all just the listeners know, Jay is going for his second portion
of lemon ice cream. Alex got the ice cream maker for his bar mitzvah.
That's fantastic.
He bought it with his vouchers.
Nebbish.
It is the best ice cream.
Yeah, no, it really is. And he's been using the same ice cream maker ever since?
That lemon ice cream is just, it never...
It is, it never fails. It's the most stunning. Mm. And I've tried to make it, but I don't make it as
You're
well
a pudding
as
person, aren't you?
I try not to be, but I am. No, I'm an everything person.
But
I have
like,
to be an everything.
You have a sweet tooth.
I don't not have a sweet tooth. I've only had two, and you said you'd had two earlier in the day.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be judged.
And also, Ed Sheeran had four sausages. You've still got, and these are tiny.
And so I tell you, they were ginger pig sausages that were that big. The man said it will only be one each. He ate, honestly, four, and I thought...
We were proud of him.
I like a boy with an appetite. Mm. Have you got any vegan friends?
Have I got any vegan friends? Yeah, my son's girlfriend is vegan.
And you like her still?
I love her. She's gorgeous. That's right. And she is a very good corrective to our household.
Did she come for Christmas dinner?
No, not for Christmas. But I've cooked for her and she is brilliantly wry, has a way of looking at the slabs of meat as they appear out of our fridge and just keeping us in our place.
Okay.
I actually have an awful lot more time for the vegan position than the dairy eating vegetarian position, because the vegan position is absolutely philosophically pure. Because if you eat dairy as a vegetarian, the thing you're closing your eyes to is all the male calves that are being bolted in the head because they're not able to produce dairy, obviously, because they're male at a day old. So you are, as a dairy eating vegetarian, you're as deep steeped in blood. Well, you know, you just eat more veal because we don't crate veal anymore. It's all just like lamb. So that's one thing I have a particular passion.
Jay Rayner doesn't mind vegans.
I love vegans.
You love them.
My one feeling about non-meat cookery is that it should be good because of the fact, not in spite of it. So do not try to feed me a vegan sausage. That's not a sausage. It's a lack of imagination shaped out of soy and oats and desperate. No imitation. If you want to make a moussaka, a sheep is going to have to die. Just accept that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't do my pre-lentil bolognese for you then. Jesus.
Well, that's a kind of thing. It's a pre-lentil
But then
stew.
There's all these people who are like gluten-free, but they're
all right,
not really.
All right, now that really, really drives me insane.
Yeah, me too.
So if you are celiac, it is a really nasty condition.
Yeah, it's a terrible disease.
And is she pointing at you in a way?
Well, I'm not.
You have been gluten-free.
Oh, Alex, sorry. We're going to have to go back to this. Hi. Alex, please meet your icon, Jay Rayner.
You are now my icon. because this is a staggering ice cream. What is the secret to this ice cream?
That would be telling.
Well, I mean...
Please, just tell him.
So, can I ask you a couple of quick questions? Do you do a custard base or
no.
do you just... It's cream and you're beating in a curd of some kind?
No.
It's literally...
Get on the mic.
It's cream, three lemons, the juice of three lemons and caster sugar.
And then just churned?
Yeah.
And that's it?
It's a bar mitzvah churner.
With a bar mitzvah churner.
Please go by me.
Yeah.
Also, Jay's had two of the cakes.
Oh, good. They're Jewish as well.
So am I.
Back onto gluten-free.
If you're a celiac, that is a very nasty condition. And the one advantage in the boom of the gluten-free movement is that it does provide real celiacs with a wider range of products. However, there are an awful lot of people claiming to be gluten-free who are not. They're just picky eaters who are trying to control the world around them through their eating habits because that's who they were as children. If they're feeling bloated as a result of eating bread, it's because they've eaten too much bloody bread. Just stop it.
Yeah, I agree.
There is no genetic reason why we should not be predisposed to eat grains. There is history going back 100,000 years to grinding down grains to release carbohydrate and protein from them. There has been no increase in the celiac population. There's just a lot of people claiming to be lactose intolerant, and they say can't eat cheese. Well, there's no lactose in cheese. All of this stuff is just people trying to control the world around them through food, and don't even get me started on clean eating. Yeah. Clean eating, the idea of a morality around food, that food is clean or it's dirty, it's not. It is just food. Stop it. Anyway, there you go. I'm really loving the ice cream. Yeah.
I could ask you so many more questions. We could keep on talking about food
and but who wants to listen to a podcast beyond 49 minutes?
Well,
I do.
I could with you, Jay. Please come again. It's been a pleasure
having
you.
Actually, what we really want is you to become our friend.
Okay, well, that's happened, hasn't it?
So that you'll come to my table again.
Thank you so much for being a guest on Table Manners. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
He'd like the lemon ice cream the most, Mum.
Because it's...
He didn't even touch my coleslaw.
Didn't he? No. But that cucumber salad was a winner.
It was all right. Well, Jay Rayner lived up to your expectations?
Lovely. Really lovely. And he was political. And, yeah, I like a good political conversation. He knew a lot about food. Felt as strongly about gluten-free as I did. Probably not strong enough about vegans, but there you go. That's only because he liked...
Did he let you see another side, another argument?
No. I mean, he's a really bright, intelligent, lovely, rounded man, isn't he?
He's funny.
He's funny.
As your mum would have said, grandma...
What?
He literally does every job. She was saying his spare time is
a
teapot.
Yeah, he does everything, really.
I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Novelist.
Musician.
Musicians. Yeah. Comedian.
But you don't remember his mum. His mum was like a fantastic novelist, and she was this agony aunt, huge personality, very, very like him.
Well, that was a real pleasure.
Yeah, it was great. Good fun, wasn't it?
Really good fun.
How do you think the food went?
Well, I mean, he ate it, didn't he?
Matzeballs like bloody bullets.
I didn't mind the matzeballs.
No,
being
I didn't
bullets.
Mind them.
Okay, Jay Rayner, a pleasure to have him. I'm not going to lie, I was slightly scared to have him in the house.
What were you scared of? You didn't bloody cook anything. Jessie was scared of what, darling? Please tell me.
Well, he didn't eat my coleslaw, so there you go.
There you go.
Well done, Mum.
But he said to me, did you clarify your soup?
That's like, that's MasterChef the professionals
right
there.
That is like, did you see how clear it was? I've never, ever done that ever in my life.
Thank you for listening to Table Manners. If you enjoyed the podcast, just like Jay enjoyed the food tonight, please give us a 5-star. What do you think Jay would have given us?
What for? For the food?
Atmos, everything. I think 4.
I mean, I felt you could have talked more about your music. You were very kind of reserved about your music, and he was very more forthright
because
about your music.
Because, Mum, it's not a podcast about me. It's a podcast for the pushy Jewish mother. I don't need to talk about myself anymore. This was supposed to be an outlet for us not to talk about me. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please give us 5-star. We won't take anything less. Well, we will.
I'm not being a 4.56 person anymore. I'm telling you, my Uber rating.
The music you've been listening to on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Thanks so much, guys. Please subscribe because that actually helps us go up in the charts. And it's been produced by Cup and Nuzzle. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.